Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege to deliver your word to your people. Loose upon this heart and mind a spirit of liberty, clarity, and understanding of who you are. Let the Holy Spirit's revelation break forth with light upon each, every word as it is read. Grant each hearer the grace to have an open and receptive heart, to understand your message, and give glory to your holy name. Amen. Today I will talk about the three parables which Jesus spoke about in the gospel reading we had. You may have heard about these stories before, during Sunday schools, or any home groups you've been in. But what is a parable, by the way? It's a short story in brief comparison of things unseen to what we can see or have experienced. Thus, parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson, as told by Jesus in his gospel. As the spoken words of Jesus are spirit and life, very few discern it, while it is obscure to others. Because it's like small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only if you find it, that's Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. And that is why we can see Jesus' answer at verse 11 of Matthew chapter 13. When he was asked by the disciples, "Why do you speak to people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." And in verse 34 to 35, it says, "Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world." Let me read again the part of our gospel reading today. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." These passages can be viewed in two ways. First is how God sees us. His love to us as his people. Like a man chasing the woman of his love to be his wife forever. And the second is how we respond to the love of God he displayed for us. And these passages, there is the kingdom of heaven that is spiritually discerned, obscured to some people. likened to a treasure in heaven, hidden in a field, in a pearl of great value. We know treasures like gold, silver, precious gems and pearls are expensive or valuable things in terms of its monetary value. Because in this world, whether we like it or not, there are things we consider highly valuable and things that are less in value. But the real value of anything is determined by the one who knows its value and is willing to pay to possess it. And that is what God sees in you and me, in all the people here on earth. God who created us knew our value. And so in exchange, he gave his only begotten son. Matthew chapter 10, verse 31 says, "You are worth more than many sparrows. Look at all God's creation. There are no other creation that he made in his own image except for man. God has so much treasured us and each man here on earth. Consider the mighty men in this book, the Bible. The people whom God used to display his power. Before God called them, they lived an ordinary and sinful life. Among them are Peter, who denied knowing Jesus, despite being with him for 3 years, and yet Jesus used him to build the church. Paul persecuted early believers, even participated and approved of putting Stephen to death by stoning. Yet Jesus used him to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. And Paul went on to write most of the books of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there was a prostitute named Rahab. Yet she became the great-great-grandmother of King David. David himself committed adultery, and to cover his acts, made another sinful deed. And yet God said, David was a man after his own heart. Moses committed a murder, and out of fear, fled to Midian. And yet God used him to lead the Israelites out of the slavery in Egypt. Jonah was a bigot. Jacob was a thief. Abraham lied, telling that his wife was his sister. And then he had a baby with his maid. And yet, God said that Abraham was his friend. There are a few of mighty men whom God used, though they live a sinful life. God proves us that he is a God of second chances. The story of their lives is of God's amazing grace and how he uses ordinary, failed, and sinful people who will carry out all he wishes to do extraordinary things, to demonstrate his power and glory. Now let me ask you about your story. I'm sure each one of us has our own story. why we are here today, praising and giving thanks to Him, our God. What does God think of you? Does He look only at your past and shakes His head over all the things you've done and all the mistakes you've made? Or does He take great delight in whom He will be making you to be in Christ Jesus? Your answer may profoundly affect the way you see yourself and the way you see God. Like most people, you may say, well, I don't know if God really even thinks of me at all. Or if He does, I'm probably a disappointment or an embarrassment to Him. He might even be ashamed of me. I really don't think I am worth much to Him. Who told you that? The devil is a liar. Come on, can we say that? The devil is a liar. Again, say it. The devil is a liar. Any negative thinking of yourself is a lie from the enemy. The devil, who is the thief, who comes only to steal and kill and destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10. Now back to our reading. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. Again, here's what it says. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. At the beginning of Matthew chapter 13, there are mainly parables. We have the parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed. In each of these parables, there is a man, the field, and there's the object of the man's attention. Then the disciples said, Lord, help us understand this, which we know that in verses 37 to 38, Jesus gives the key to understand all these parables. He said, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. He is the Lord. The field is the world, and the good seed, which is the object of his attention, stands for the kingdom, or stands for the children of the kingdom. Thus, in these two parables, the man is the Lord Jesus, while the field is the world, and we are the hidden treasure in the pearl of great price. Isn't it that in the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich? And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 8, it says, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. and how for the sake of joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, says in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Do you see? The value of something is determined by what someone is willing to pay for it. Whether it's a painting that is auctioned or a house in land. And so, if you ever wonder what is your value to God, we'll just look at the cross. The blood he shed there tells you and me how valuable we are and what God was willing to pay to redeem us. See, that all of those mighty men in the Bible were not called into greatness because they had done anything to deserve it. But it was all by God's grace. And it is the same for you and me. Everyone else may look at us and they'll only see our failures in our past. But God looks at us and sees our value and our future that can become a person to be his vessel to change the community in the world. On the other hand, we can view the two parables in our perspective. It is fair enough that Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure and a pearl of great value," because he himself is absolutely valuable. Do you consider him valuable in any way? The point of the parable is to emphasize Christ's value by showing that he is more valuable than all of our earthly possessions, which is temporal. In this world, there are so much destruction that hinders our intimacy with him. Men and children are busy striving to seek goodly pearls, but end up counterfeits. One becomes rich, another is motivated to becoming honorable, another aims to be highly educated. I'm not saying that these are bad persons, but if this replaces the will of God and becomes idol of our lives, then what Jesus accomplished in the cross will just be in vain. Mark chapter 4, verse 19 says, "But the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing." As the man or the merchant sells all that he has in order to gain the treasure, it's not that he can buy Christ, but the losses and sacrifices he incurs by not conforming to the patterns of the world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. By not loving the world or the things in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And by not storing up for himself treasures on earth, but store up for himself treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. It's from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. And these are accepted joyfully in the heart of the merchant, without compulsion. because he understands the gain is infinitely greater. We can have all the riches of this world, but if Jesus is not in our life, we can be storing up wrath for ourselves on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Romans 2, verse 5. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeits his soul? The man is wise enough that he exchanges by selling his earthly goods to gain or possess the treasure in Jesus." Who is the true bread that came down from heaven to give life to the world? From John chapter 6, verse 33. Furthermore, how can you not treasure Jesus if he says in John chapter 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now the last parable is, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me just show you some pictures of the cast net. That's the style of the net described here. At the tip of that net is iron weights. Next slide, please. There. It's a circular, where in the center there's the lead rope there where you can pull it. There, as it throws the net. Next slide, please. Yeah. And next, please. So there. So all the fishes that are under the net, as it goes down, it catches all the fishes therein. So as they pull it, there's fishes there. All the kinds of fishes are there. Thank you. The proclamation of the gospel is the net in this parable, which is thrown and started since the inception of the church by the apostles. In Mark 16, verses 15 to 16, Jesus commanding his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned." And this proclamation of the gospel is drawing people into repentance and increasing number of believers since then and until now. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says, "And the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This is a prophetic verse which is happening and is about to come to pass. With the technology that is evolving, high-speed internet we have right now, the gospel will be able to reach even to the rural areas. And not only in the pulpit. So that all people will hear the gospel, those who will believe of it, will be saved in where Jesus is. There they will be there. They will be there also. And those who will not believe will be cast out and thrown as bad fish into the furnace of fire. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the amazing, immeasurable value that you have placed on us, that you were willingly paid the price through Jesus' work on the cross to redeem us. Lord, I ask that you would give us spiritual eyes to see ourselves the way you do. Grant us the strength by your Spirit to live lives that reflect the value that you placed on us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.